I love stories, love books, movies. And this story, the Nativity story, is my favorite story of all. Al read the beginning for us, but let's go from there. During Advent, we've talked about Elizabeth and Zechariah and Mary and Joseph, but tonight, let's hear about the shepherds. From the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, and Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they heard and all they had seen, as it had been told them. I love these stories. Love them. Believe them. And by believe, I don't mean I believe these Christmas stories are factual. I don't think that on December 24th or 25th, it's really hard to pin down, a young woman and her husband, after being turned away from inn after inn, brought their first child into the world in a stable or a cave, and shepherds showed up after having traveled from 5 or 6 miles away. I don't believe that if Joseph had had an iPhone, he could have filmed all this and uploaded it, and he and Mary would have argued over his lack of discretion in the photos. I don't believe it's factual. I do believe it's true. As John Dominic Crossan said, my point once again is not that those ancient people told literal stories and we are now smart enough to take them symbolically, but that they told them symbolically and we are now dumb enough to take them literally. This story tonight, it's like the other stories of great pronouncement. It follows a formula that begins with, "Do not be afraid." I love that part. Most of the problems in my life would not happen if I was being not afraid. Afraid makes me not smart. Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. You know, it's an interesting message when you get right down to it. A Savior is born. That's unusual, right? You wouldn't call your sister and say, "Your nephew is born this morning. Everybody's doing great." You wouldn't expect your high school friend to post in Facebook, "My first grandchild is born this week." That's not how we say it, at least in English. We say, "Your nephew was born this week," or "My first grandchild was born this week." That's what we expect to hear. So this is born language. That could be an accident, right? Just a literary convention, one of those literary presence things. It could be, but I don't think so. I think this is an intentional choice by a gospel writer or writers who are grasping at every device they have to convey to us the miraculous nature of this Jesus, of the man, not the baby. Remember, these stories weren't written contemporaneous with the events they're describing. Someone or some people, after their experience with Jesus, or with the followers of Jesus, or the stories of Jesus, are trying to make sure we understand this is no ordinary birth. And I believe the use of is an intentional choice made throughout the gospel story to convey the eternal, abiding presence of Christ. And further, I think it is a choice that is consistent with the I am sayings attributed to Yahweh in the First Testament and Jesus in the Second. Jesus is born. And can we take just a minute to talk about that word that follows is? Now really think about it. I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born. It's pretty remarkable. Christ the Savior is born? If you didn't already know the story, if it was happening to you, you would not expect Christ the Savior is born. You'd expect Christ the Savior is mighty, or powerful, or victorious, or coming to you in a cloud. Saviors are not newborns, dependent, vulnerable, except ours is. And in that simple word, if we're paying attention, we are prepared for the antithesis of the conquering hero. We are prepared for a Messiah who is approachable, humble, personal, present, human, a real life Savior whose life and whose relationship with God we can hope to emulate. This story is so good. And it gets better. This unconventional Savior, this King who is born, his birth is announced to, of all people, shepherds. Now, on the one hand, that's not remarkable. Lots of shepherd imagery in Scripture. From Isaiah, Adonai tends the flock like a shepherd and gathers the lambs up in arms and carries them close to the heart. And Ezekiel, God says, I will be like a shepherd looking for my scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered. And Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. All these people in Jesus' history were shepherds. Abraham was a shepherd. His son Jacob was a shepherd. Moses, the deliverer, was a shepherd. King David was a shepherd. Now, we've been together a lot of years, and I've told you this story a lot of times, and this is the point where I've told you how it is important that the angels appeared to shepherds because shepherds were despised by the Jewish religious authorities. I'd say a few things about ritual uncleanness in the law. But not tonight. All through Advent, I've been drawing from Amy Jill Levine's book, The Light of the World, for my sermons. And this is important because Levine is a faithful Jew, a professor of Jewish studies, and an expert on the Gospels, on the Christmas stories. She invites us to take a more generous look at these stories. She invites me not to open up yet more opportunities to suggest with great subtlety that Jews knew only the law of God and not the love of God, that somehow God himself was redeemed in the birth of Jesus. I'm not going there. Not anymore. Not to that ungenerous depiction that gets people focused on the wrong things. Tonight I want to lift up, as she does, how in having the angels appear to the shepherds, we're not making a comment on ritual cleanliness or who's in or who's out. I mean, we can focus on that if we want to, but tonight I want to lift up, as she does, how in having the angels appear to the shepherds, Luke has shined a light on new promises and possibilities for this new king. By appearing to shepherds, the angels tell us this new king will be nothing like Caesar, who holds court among the elite and powerful, who taxes and terrorizes the common people. This new king shows up for shepherds, commoners, all of us. That's such a better focus for Christmas, isn't it? If you take nothing else away with you tonight, if you take nothing else away with you from the Advent that we've spent together, take this. We carry the child Jesus as surely as Mary did. And oh, when you think about it, that's kind of a scary thing if you're carrying Jesus. We want to do all kinds of things, don't we, to protect them. Make sure that little baby is safe. Make sure that little baby has a chance to do all kinds of wonderful things in the world. But sometimes we get so focused on keeping that little baby safe. And yes, this is metaphor. We get so focused on keeping that Savior safe that we forget to let him be born. We forget that the whole wonderfulness of the story is the baby is born and brings among us hope, peace, joy, and love. The child in us must be born through us and given to the world. I hope that you take with you this night and all of Advent this understanding that there is no part of our Jesus story that relies on making anyone else's story less important or less true. If we are followers of the light of the world, if we give birth to the light of the world, then I think we will be going about it the right way. Remember this as another one of my favorite storytellers said, Madeline Ellingle, we do not draw people to Christ by loudly discrediting what they believe, by telling them how wrong they are and how right we are, but by showing them a light that is so lovely that they want with all their hearts to know the source of it. Amen.